Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Greatest Salesman in the World by Og Mandino is a short motivational fable first published in the late 1960s and widely read in sales, self-help, and personal development circles. Rather than presenting sales as a set of scripts, closing tactics, or negotiation methods, the book frames selling as an expression of character, discipline, emotional control, and service. Its story centers on Hafid, a poor camel boy in the ancient world who is guided toward prosperity through a set of 10 scrolls containing principles for living and working. The book blends parable, spiritual reflection, and habit training, making it closer to a moral philosophy of achievement than to a conventional business manual. Its purpose is to show that durable success depends less on external technique than on repeated internal practice, replacing destructive habits, acting with love, persisting through failure, valuing each day, and taking action before doubt becomes paralysis. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, Hafid's story turned sales instruction into a moral fable. And also weighted in our Magus Fable, the book is distinctive because it teaches through a fictional ancient world narrative rather than through modern business cases or technical sales advice. Hafid begins as a poor camel boy who wants to improve his station, and his rise provides the frame for Mandino's lessons about ambition, discipline, and service. This structure matters because it shifts the reader away from thinking of sales as manipulation or persuasion tricks. Salesmanship becomes a test of personal formation. The seller must become trustworthy, resilient, and emotionally steady before any outward success can last. The fable format also allows Mandino to make universal claims without tying them to one industry or era. Hafid's journey is not mainly about product knowledge, territories, quotas, or customer profiles. It is about the inner qualities that make consistent performance possible. The result is a book that can be read by sales professionals, entrepreneurs, leaders, and general self-improvement readers. Its simplicity is also part of its method. By using a compact story and symbolic scrolls, Mandino makes the ideas memorable and repeatable, even if the book sacrifices the detail and specificity expected from contemporary sales training. Secondly, the 10 scrolls function as a system for replacing habits. The center of the book is the sequence of 10 scrolls, each built around a principle intended to be read repeatedly, until it becomes part of the reader's daily conduct. The first scroll introduces the idea that success begins with habit change, not with occasional enthusiasm. This is the practical mechanism behind the book. Bad habits are not argued away, but displaced by repeated constructive thoughts and actions. Mandino presents repetition as a form of self-training, similar to learning a craft through practice. The scrolls cover a progression from beginning a new life. Greeting the day with love, persisting, recognizing personal uniqueness, living with urgency, mastering emotions, laughing at adversity, increasing personal value, acting now, and seeking guidance. The logic is cumulative. The reader first commits to change, then practices emotional orientation, then develops perseverance and action. The prescribed reading discipline can feel demanding, but it reflects the book's main claim that transformation requires more than understanding an idea once. The scrolls are not merely inspirational statements. They are designed as a ritual for converting principles into automatic behavior. Love and service redefine the purpose of selling. One of the book's most important departures from conventional sales thinking is its insistence that the salesperson should approach others with love. In context, this does not mean sentimentality. It means treating customers and other people as persons rather than obstacles to revenue. Mandino's approach implies that durable influence depends on goodwill, patience, and respect. A seller who acts only from greed or pressure may secure occasional transactions, but the book argues that lasting success requires a deeper orientation toward service. This principle also broadens the book beyond sales. Everyone, in some sense, must present ideas, ask for trust, and contribute value to others. If influence is unavoidable, then the ethical question becomes how influence is practiced. Mandino answers by placing love before technique. The practical reasoning is clear. People respond more openly to those who show sincere concern, and the seller who cultivates goodwill is less likely to become cynical or exploitative. This is why the book remains attractive to readers who want achievement without reducing relationships to transactions. Its sales philosophy is character-based rather than tactic-based. Fourthly, persistence, emotional mastery, and action form the performance core. Several scrolls focus on the inner obstacles that undermine achievement: discouragement, mood swings, procrastination, and fear of failure. Mandino treats failure as normal rather than exceptional. In selling, repeated rejection is unavoidable, so the central question is not whether setbacks will occur, but whether the individual can continue with steadiness. The scroll on persistence emphasizes continuing until success, while the scroll on Mastering Emotions recognizes that feelings change throughout the day and can distort judgment. This is psychologically practical, even when expressed in devotional language. A salesperson who depends on favorable moods will perform inconsistently. One who can act despite temporary discouragement has a stronger foundation. The scroll on Laughter adds another dimension by encouraging perspective. Laughing at adversity reduces the ego's tendency to treat every failure as final. Finally, the instruction to act now confronts the tendency to delay under the appearance of planning. Together, these principles form a performance system: endure rejection, regulate emotional reactions, preserve perspective, and move before hesitation hardens into inaction. The book's advice is simple, but it targets real behavioral barriers. Lastly, spiritual language gives the book power and limits its appeal. The greatest salesman in the world is strongly spiritual in tone, especially in its emphasis on prayer, guidance, gratitude, and moral purpose. This gives the book much of its emotional force. Success is not presented merely as wealth accumulation, but as alignment with a larger order of meaning. The final scroll, which turns toward prayer for guidance, reinforces the idea that human effort should be joined to humility. This distinguishes Mandino from authors who frame achievement entirely as individual control or strategic advantage. At the same time, the same spiritual quality may limit the book's appeal for readers seeking secular, research-based, or highly tactical instruction. It offers few modern examples, little direct sales methodology, and no detailed analysis of markets, buyer psychology, or negotiation. Its value lies elsewhere. It provides a moral and motivational framework for people who need discipline, persistence, and a sense of purpose in their work. Readers should therefore approach it as a formative text rather than a technical manual. Its influence comes from repeated reflection on principles, not from operational sales procedures. In conclusion, The Greatest Salesman in the World is best suited for readers who want a compact, principle-driven guide to personal discipline, ethical influence, and resilience. Sales professionals may find it useful if they are looking for a philosophy of selling rather than a method for prospecting, presenting, or closing. Entrepreneurs, managers, and self-improvement readers may also benefit because the book treats sales broadly as the ability to serve, persuade, endure rejection, and act with consistency. Its practical benefit is not technical instruction, but behavioral reinforcement. The scrolls encourage readers to examine their habits, regulate emotions, persist through discouragement, and approach others with respect. Intellectually, the book is interesting because it joins commercial ambition with moral and spiritual formation, a combination less common in modern sales books that often emphasize metrics, scripts, and tactics. What makes it stand out is its parable structure and ritualized reading method. It does not simply tell readers what principles matter. It asks them to repeat those principles until they shape conduct. Readers who prefer data-heavy, contemporary sales strategy may find it too simple or devotional. Readers open to fable, affirmation, and disciplined repetition are more likely to understand why it has remained influential. If you would like to support Ove Mandino, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.